In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
Recording.
Okay, so now we're all set.
We're all set.
Okay, you sure?
Yep.
Don't want this to turn into episode 12 all over again.
No, because the little thing's moving. I just snapped in the... Sorry about that. Snapped in the microphone and...
Yeah, getting a little feisty with him.
And the record thing is glowing.
The record thing is glowing.
Well, you know, it's like I told you on...
Very esoteric.
On your machine, you can actually see that something's happening. Yes. And on mine, you can't until you're done. And then, oh, there it is. But I'm... You know,
I had something funny to say about all this, and I don't remember what it is now. that happens to me a lot. Hello, everybody, by the way. Hi. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, episode 28?
No, I think it's 27.
I thought it was 28.
Well, maybe it is 28. 20. Wait. Okay, 26. It's 28. You're right.
I was going to say, I just looked and I think it's...
No, you're right,
Are you going to be able to edit the tags on this? So that the file looks...
I don't know.
Well, this could be fun.
I don't even have internet access or anything.
No, we don't have to do that. No. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Anyway, hello everybody, welcome to episode 28. I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And we're fucked. basically, my computer broken and it's in the shop right now. So we're winging it with William's laptop and William's other type of editing software.
Which I'm not going to say what it is because I might want to complain about it.
Yeah, but like if I didn't realize you had a PC, because if so, I could have just made you download the thing that I use and we could have run it on that and then I would have known exactly what to do.
You mean Audacity?
Yes.
And I did think of doing that, but...
I thought you were on a Mac, so I thought it was going to be GarageBand or whatever.
No. And this is fine. It's not. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, you say that now. By the time it's out there, we may know.
The thing is, I know how to use it. I didn't want there to be any issues with me trying to learn something new, even though I'm sure it works the same way. I just go with what you know. I mean, I know it's not going to be complicated or difficult. When I'm recording music with this particular software, there's all kinds of issues with it, but what we're doing is not gonna be a problem.
So if you're hearing this, we have succeeded.
And if you're not, well, you're just not.
We screwed it up. Yeah, it's like episode 12, except not as cool. So for those of you just joining us, I always think that's a funny term on a podcast. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. We have a magical hat. Checks its own email, doesn't talk, but gets us talking because you write into it with questions and topics and we discuss them till we're bored. So, yeah.
Sometimes even a little bit after we're bored. And
yeah, sometimes we keep going on
accident. It gets pretty ugly.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Like last week. Although we had some fans from last week.
Some people seem to like it. I don't know.
Some people really... Unfortunately, since my computer's broken, it wasn't easy for me to check. Certain people were making references to parts from last week they thought were particularly funny, and I wanted to go back and check those out. But... I think those might have been the disgusting parts.
No. Well, yes, that's true. They were, now that I think about it. Actually, it was the one thing that was mentioned was our conversation about the... Would You Rather game.
Yes.
Seemed to think that was pretty funny. Which I'm glad someone thought it was funny because
we're hilarious.
I guess.
As a duo.
I don't know.
So, William, what happened to your hair?
I had a haircut.
Again?
Yeah.
Is this just going to be a thing with you now?
Yes. It's going to be a thing.
You look so much better with your long flowing locks.
Yeah, whatever.
You have such thick, luxurious hair.
So, things weren't like they usually are when I got here. What was going on?
What do you mean?
The door was locked.
Well, because there was... Normally, I, like, set crap up, and you were bringing everything. So, I basically put the intro and outro on a jump drive, and then I was like, I'm just hanging out until he gets
here. I thought I was late or something, because...
No, I forgot. I was going to open when I cleaned up a little bit. I know, it's funny. But when I cleaned up a little bit, I was going to open the door like I do, and I forgot. And apparently it was locked, so I didn't want to get up again. I was watching 30 Rock, because Comedy Central is now syndicating 30 Rock, so they're showing all the old episodes from the beginning, which is fun.
Well, don't they have their season premiere tonight? Or
no, 30 Rock's going to be a mid-season entry this time.
I see.
It's showing up in, like, January or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't know if I was going to be late because I picked up a hitchhiker on the way.
Did you?
Yeah, I just drove him one exit.
Left him outside? Oh.
Yeah, he's going to Davenport, so... But, you know, he didn't mind a ride for a mile on the interstate. I suppose that was kind of handy. And who knows, he might find someone going to Davenport on the next exit.
See, and for anybody else, this would be a setup for an elaborate joke, but William really just picked up some hitchhiker.
Yes, I did. And
dropped him off. Because that's how he rolls in his little Prius.
Well, he looked like a homeless guy, so...
So you know that's got to be good.
Well, you know, they don't get very many breaks. And it's not like I was going to drive very far, so, you know.
William, as I learned from Jonathan Colton's song, IKEA... Everyone has a home. But if you don't have a home, you can buy one there.
You know, I don't really pick up hitchhikers that often. I think this is only the second or third time. Third or fourth time in my life I've ever picked up a hitchhiker.
That's still more than me. I barely pick up hitchhikers if I know them.
And it's only when I'm by myself.
So that if it's an axe murderer, at least...
No, it's just not everybody is going to feel comfortable, yeah, you know, sitting next to...
Man, if I was hitchhiking and somebody in a Prius picked me up, I'd kill him just for the car.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know.
I like me a Prius. Well, yours is a silver one. That's such a boring color for a Prius. Like, all Priuses are that color.
No, I never worry about anyone killing me or anything like that. I don't know why. I don't know. They don't look homicidal.
It's always the ones that don't look homicidal that you have to watch out for.
That's right.
Okay, so did you consume any interesting media this week?
Well, you know, not exactly. But you know what? Supernatural is going to premiere tomorrow.
Oh.
For their 7th season, maybe?
Something high.
It's and you've never watched it?
I have not. I have heard that I maybe should. But I just have trouble with any show on the CW.
Okay, well, we're watching it. You know, the kids really like it. And we, last season was available on Blu-ray like a week ago or something.
Okay.
So the kids are like, you know, watching episode after episode after episode, trying to get caught up before the premiere on Friday, which would be tomorrow. And,
unless we didn't get this out there for a while, in which case it may be yesterday. Who knows?
And so I'm watching it, and, you know, we've been watching it for a long time, and it's the first time I've sat watching a few episodes together where I actually thought, Tony should watch this show.
Oh.
I've never thought that before. But I should have, because I do think you would like it. I think there are things about it you wouldn't like.
Yeah, I mean, all these CW shows have a certain, I don't know what you'd call it, the 90210 factor to them, of all these pretty young white people, sort of teenagery feel to it. But several of them still seem to have things that I would like. One being this show, Supernatural, mm-hmm, and one apparently being Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, not so much for me, but
really?
Like, we watched Smallville. As you know, I'm sure you know I'm a big DC Comics fan. Who watched that? And that was actually really good for a long time until it kind of...
Fourth season, I believe you told me.
Then it kind of got that 90210
and very soap opery. And of course, in its last couple seasons, it was the neon-colored tights-wearing freak of the week. I couldn't even believe all the shit they pulled out.
But the first three seasons were great. The fourth season is when it kind of started to go south. But the kids were recently watching all of those again, too. And I realized that, actually, there's a good character story arc from season one clear to season seven that makes the first seven seasons pretty watchable.
Oh, wow.
Mostly involving Lex Luthor. Yeah. Which I also think you would like, because Lex is, well, I won't get into it, but and then after that, the show, it's pretty much unredeemable. But Supernatural is, yeah, most of the characters are white and most of the characters are male.
Yeah.
But it seems to me it kind of avoids that. You know, I know that a lot of teenagers watch it, and a lot of teenage girls like the two main stars and everything, but for the most part it kind of avoids that feel, and it's very clever, it's very interesting, and it's a funny show too, but when there's drama in it, it feels real, you know what I mean? It's hard to, you wouldn't think it. If you just talked about the premise of the show, you'd think there's no way that anyone could really get into the show. But there are moments of drama in it that are very well done for the kind, you know, for the premise it has and for some of the comedy that's in it.
And it seems to have, from what I've gathered, a fairly involved but also fairly solid mythology to it.
Yeah, you know, the
which
the
is always a big plus for me.
Right.
It's sort of the only reason I'm watching the new Thundercats, I've discovered.
Well, if, for example, if you like the Dresden Files.
Which I do.
it seems like you would like it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when they have something, a lot of times actually, when they have, you know, a creature or a being of some kind, and they have the lore about it that they talk about because they have to figure out how to destroy it or kill it or whatever, or not get killed by it. It's sometimes that's a little disappointing that it's kind of, I don't know, like the people who wrote the script actually could have found out a lot about this this fictional character and really made it more interesting, and then they did.
But instead, they just pulled the crap out of their butt.
And that's a little disappointing sometimes. But the overall story arcs are very well done. You don't feel like from show to show they're just making it up as they go along. And the character arcs are across the board really good. There's really no weak characters in it. And, you know, if usually the lore is kind of fun, even if it's a little bit corny or superficial or whatever. I don't want to give anything away, so I won't talk too much about it.
Because I hate spoilers.
I really think, though, if you watched it, that you would like it, although you might have to give it some time. I don't know.
I mean, I have that with something.
I like the first season and second season just great, but I think most of the things you'd like most probably you'll have to get at least through the first season before it'll really kick in.
Well, I'll put that on my list. There's too much crap I have to watch right now, and all the new shows are just coming out, and of course we have to watch freaking every one of them.
Yeah, I know. Well,
on our DVR, and that's driving
like
crazy.
I said, I was watching it just today, and I was thinking Tony should watch this.
I'll add it to the list.
Because I think you would like it.
We've been watching new shows all over the friggin' place.
Yeah, I don't think we're looking forward to any new shows, really.
Looking forward and need to see if it's any good is different. I am sad to say we are currently watching three new sitcoms, and I can't justify stopping any of them at this point.
Wow.
I'm really kind of pissed about that. NBC's got their Up All Night thing with Christina Applegate and Will Arnett and Maya Rudolph, of just a couple, a young-ish couple finally deciding to have a baby. Or actually, I don't think they decide. It just happens. And hijinks ensue. And it's pretty clever. And it's a much more realistic portrayal of a couple than most sitcoms, which have, you know, the one smart person and the one stupid person, and you don't really get bothered together. This couple's sort of believable. And I love all those actors. And then Free Agents, which Trish made me get, and I have to say is very clever. I don't know if I care, but it's just good writing. It's Hank Azaria and Anthony Head and some other people. It's just some really good writing. And then the one that's driving me nuts that we just watched yesterday, New Girl, which is this damn Fox thing with Zooey Deschanel, that having watched the first episode, it is either the worst or the best sitcom I have ever seen, and I can't yet figure out which it is. It's weird, and I really can't tell if I love it or hate it at this point. So maybe in a couple episodes I'll decide I hate it and I can stop watching it, but we'll have to see.
Well, I don't know if I ever told you my overall TV watching experience in my life, but when I left home in 1987 when I graduated from high school, I didn't have a TV. And
I believe that.
And I didn't really watch television after that. If I went to my brother's house, he would sometimes show me things that he thought.
Yeah, that's why you never saw the friggin' Simpsons. I had to tell you about it every week.
Yeah, and he would show me Simpsons episodes. He would show me South Park when South Park came along. But for the most part, never watched television. I worked at Sears selling electronics, and I would sell televisions. And people would always ask me, well, you're selling TVs. What do you have? I want to buy what the salesman has. And I don't have one. And at that time, I didn't have a computer or a stereo system either. I didn't have anything that I was selling.
Electronic at all.
Yeah, at Sears. So,
I'm Amish, so.
But then they started having TV shows on the internet.
Why, yes.
And so about, maybe 3 years ago, I started watching a lot of shows. And, but now, it's interesting that most of the shows I watched have ended or are ending.
Yeah.
Like I'd watch Monk online, and it's not on anymore.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's getting harder to watch shows online because, TNT, if you want to watch their shows online, you have to get a password from your cable provider.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
That's right. And other places, they won't put the show on the day after. It'll be like a week after.
Well, and a lot of crap goes through Hulu now.
Yeah, so as it's just kind of coincidental that while the shows I'm watching are sort of dwindling off and I'm not hearing of any shows that I want to watch,
yeah,
it's also getting harder to watch. So I think I've had this like 4 or 5 year window of watching a lot of television online mostly, and pretty soon I'm not going to be watching TV again. Which,
well, then you'll just watch older shows that have finished over on Netflix.
Well, perhaps. Yeah, perhaps.
So I'm going to have to pick up a lot of stuff that way. But the problem, the DVR sucks. Because the DVR, you can check out every new show. And so anything that looks like it might have potential, we check out. And then we sort of have to sort through them. And so right now, we're still watching Alphas. I don't know why. We're going to start, Grimm's not out yet, but when that comes, we're going to watch that. Trish has picked up all the stupid hour-long ones. She's going to watch Ringer. She's going to watch Unforgettable. She's going to watch A Gifted Man. Like, all the crap even I can avoid. We're going to watch Terra Nova, at least until we decide that sucks.
There are a lot of shows that, we'll watch the first two, and if it doesn't grab us, we won't. And usually we have to hear something really good about it.
We almost got rid of Alphas, and we're actually not sure why we haven't. We keep watching it, and we're not entirely sure why. And meanwhile, because everything, there's no such thing as a real season time anymore, new things are always coming up, like Castle's this week, and I think Fringe starts up again this week, and we watch both of those.
Yes, Fringe.
Warehouse 13 is going to be over soon, but then Sanctuary is going to start up again. Like, there's just no time. And meanwhile, we're trying to get through the last season of Last Airbender on Netflix, and we still haven't touched BSG. It's killing us.
Well, like I said, TV is probably on the way out for me again, which is too bad because, as I've said before, it's kind of my favorite art form, episodic, visual.
Well, there's a lot of potential for growth that you can't do in film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose what I'd really love is if movie serials came back and you could go watch them cheaper or something, I could do that. But if you like serialized visual media, TV's the only act in town and has been for years, and that's fine with me. But I don't have, our television Now, we do have basic cable now because we found out we were paying for it anyway. But okay. Basic cable around here is just the networks, which we don't watch.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other things we don't watch. So we still basically don't watch any television.
Yeah.
With our television, we watch Blu-rays, DVDs, and we play video games. And even that, not a lot. So,
yeah.
You know, when it comes to TV, I'm very, very, very picky. And a lot of things that other people think are great, I don't. So
I'm trying to get pickier. The DVR makes it hard, but I'm trying to get pickier because I don't... I got too much other shit going on. Like, I don't have time to be watching TV, and I don't miss it when I don't watch it.
This is what people used to ask me at Sears when I told them I didn't have a television. Well, what do you do?
Yeah.
And I say, well,
but I mean, got lots of things to do. Between the books that I'm reading and the books that I'm listening to and my podcasts and the game I'm running and video games. Oh, God, I'm so behind on video games. Like, I'm like, TV, I can totally let go, but there's just... And I try and be more logical, but there's just basically BSG did it for me. There's too many things now that I'm like, it's not that bad, and it might get really awesome later, and then I won't have watched it.
Well,
I mean, BSG is practically a cultural touchstone at this point, and I can't get it, partially because I just don't understand it, and partially because I won't let people talk to me about it because I don't want spoilers.
Well, the thing is, even when I was working at Sears and they'd ask me, well, what do you do? At the time, I wasn't even reading like a lot of books or anything. And I was
I sleep. I definitely wasn't people.
Playing video games.
What the hell were you doing?
See, exactly. I tell you I wasn't reading books or playing video games or watching television, and suddenly you don't know what I'm doing.
And what were you doing?
Lots of things.
What?
Well, I was doing charity work. I was coordinating charity work with the church I was going to. I had, you know, people over and we'd visit. Talk about things not related to TV, books, or video games, believe it or not.
Yeah, and this doesn't sound weird to you.
No.
I'm not saying it's bad. I think it's commendable. I'm just saying this is a William thing. Very few people do this.
Let's see, what else? You know, if we could get in like some gardening or something, we'd do that. I mean, there's tons of things to do in life
that
aren't reading books, watching television, or playing video games.
And not a lot of people spend a lot of time on those.
Well, when they decide not to read books, watch TV, or play video games, they find they have to do something, and they find all of these other things to do, and it's great.
But not many of them do that. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying it's not surprising that people should be surprised, because that's uncommon.
But these days, of course, I'm mostly working on my own content, hoping that it can turn into a book or a video game or a movie.
All right, there you go.
And, of course, I'm consuming these things,
maybe
too.
You can find a way to turn the Twilight Nurse series into gardening.
Maybe. But
it's your own sage gardening pack.
And I'm watching television shows and reading books and things because, of course, if I'm going to create this stuff, I have to consume it.
Yeah, but you lie. You're not reading books.
Well, that's not true. I mean, when I have a chance, I do.
Yeah, you know, freaking read books. But anyway, besides consuming all this shitty media from the television, I actually consumed, although I was on the television, but I consumed an actual feature film.
Really?
This week. Last night, in fact.
Yeah.
I saw The Men Who Stare at Goats.
Yeah, I saw that some time ago. And you didn't like it?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those movies where when it's done...
It's some weird shit.
Yeah, it's pretty weird, and it's hard to know if you like it or not.
It's some weird shit, and I think I might not like it, except for that little tangible bit of it is partially, somewhat, a little bit based in some reality.
Yeah.
And for those of you who haven't seen it, in the opening... What it says across the screen is, more of this is real than you would believe.
Well,
and that's all the explanation they give you.
I suspect, of course, I have no frame of reference for this, but I suspect that it's a film that a person who's high while they're watching it might really enjoy.
Yeah, well, and I think I did, and it's some good performances, and it's some good people.
Yeah.
And just the whole... Again, for those of you not familiar with it, it's a movie about a journalist who accidentally stumbles upon the vestiges of a military program that was started in like the 70s.
Secret military program
that basically used new age techniques to try and make psychic soldiers that could do all these weird mind things, and they sometimes refer to them as Jedi because it came around right around that time. And that's what I find hilarious, because the journalist is played by Ewan McGregor, and so they have all this Jedi talk all the time, and I'm like, it's Obi-Wan Kenobi. And it's got him, and it's got George Clooney, and it's got Jeff Bridges, and it's got Kevin Spacey. And it was entertaining, but it's just,
well,
it's weird. And it's so much of it, you're like, am I supposed to, it's really surreal.
I think it's probably one of its strengths that you can't find anything to really let you get a handle on it. I think that's probably positive about it. But at the same time,
and it rides the edge of they just threw some shit together, but never quite. Like, every once in a while, you're like, by the end of the scene, I'm going to be convinced that they all just did a bunch of coke and made this in a weekend. And then by the end of the scene, you're like, no, I'm still not convinced. It still might be a real movie. And you're just never sure.
Well, I think that's part of the point. But yes, even after all that's done, it's really hard to say, yeah, this was great, or
I should
recommend it to other people.
It's on Netflix Instant Watch, and it's not a waste of your time.
No, I would say it's worth watching.
Yeah, it's weird shit, man.
If you've seen it and you have a comment about it, we'd like to hear it.
Absolutely. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and post a comment on this episode all about what you thought about The Men Who Stare at Goats. And also, if you read the book, because I'm very curious, because it's based on a book.
Oh, really?
I'd
forgotten that, I guess.
And so I'm very curious what the book has. This kind of makes me want to read the book, but I'm still knee-deep in my Dresden Files stuff. I am midway through the 12th book now, and I'm also quite heavily into the RPG now, reading the RPG. I'm really into the RPG. I think it's really cool. Again, the game system is one that I have never messed with before. It's the Fate system. And it's a very different way of handling role-playing games. And I think it's very cool.
Okay.
So I'm kind of psyched about that. And the presentation is very cool, too. The conceit of the role-playing game is that one of the characters from the Dresden universe has created a role-playing game as sort of a thinly veiled manual for people to understand what the supernatural is really about, so they can like protect themselves from supernatural threats, but it's disguised as a role-playing game. And so throughout, it's sort of a rough print looking thing, and throughout it there are post-its and margin notes from a few different characters discussing, like, basically going over, it's a working draft of the material. And so there's lots of references to, like, the real world equivalent of whatever their real world equivalent of whatever they're talking about or questions about, but that's not how it actually went. And it's very cute and amusing that way. so I'm enjoying that a lot.
But you don't know when you're actually going to, like, put together a game?
Well, it'll be after my Traveler game. But my Traveler game has just started, so it's going to be a while.
Be a while, yeah.
It'll be several months at least. And Traveler will come up again next Tuesday, and I'm very excited about that. For once, I actually know what's going to happen next. And
good.
It should be fun. Yeah, that game's going well. I want my damn computer back.
It's been 28 minutes. Just so you know.
Goodness.
Because I know you usually pay attention to those things. I have the thing in front of me now, so I have to pay attention instead.
And I've been very sick, and this is the first day I feel bad. I was gone from work Monday, and I was gone from work Wednesday.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, sorry to hear
that. Now I'm better. Have you been seeing those weird things I've been doing on Facebook?
I don't know.
Those weird little end of story posts?
Oh, yes. Well, I just saw one.
I did one a few days before about missing cufflinks.
Yes, missing cufflinks.
Yes, and then today I did the one about the genie.
Yes. Oh, the genie, yes. No, I didn't see the genie.
Oh, you didn't see the genie? See, that one got a bunch of attention today. I don't know why. There were a bunch of people at that one.
No, I don't remember the genie.
I don't know what's... these have just been popping in my head, so I've been throwing them out there. It's weird. I like him. Okay, so hat time?
Hat time.
Hat time. If you would like us to read or discuss or mock something, you write the hat. You can do that by writing the hat. Email the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, and your thing will go in the hat, and we may draw it out because we draw it at random. And you can write more than one question in an email, but you don't have to, and you don't have to go crazy and write 12 of them. And it helps if you keep it terse, maybe 140 characters or so, like it was a tweet. Because that's just easier for the hat to write down on a card.
Yeah, the hat is magical.
Yes,
but it's not that magical.
Exactly.
Don't.
And
think that.
And it may digest things if you write too much.
Or so we've been told by the people who said, "Hey, you didn't read my whole question."
Who's it from?
Mark McKibben.
Mark McKibben. Hard hat number one.
I know, really.
Our longest and most faithful listener.
Mark the Foreman McKibben.
Mark what?
Well.
Oh, hard hats.
Hard hats.
I think we're really starting to stretch the metaphor.
Well, I just thought.
We're escaping a few spaces here. But no, Mark, I happen to know, has been involved since episode one. Because as early as episode one, he was telling me what I was doing wrong with the feed settings. And he has been there every
helped
step
with
of
some
the
of
way.
The art and
yes, helped with some of the art and told me what I did wrong there.
Comments on every broadcast.
So he has been with us since the beginning, unflagging. And so, yeah, I think he definitely deserves the fan number one spot, although we have a lot of good, loyal fans.
And
what does Mark McKibben have
and
to
also
say?
A close friend of ours.
And he's also a close friend of ours, yes. We used to work with him, and yes.
Favorite pizza topping and or combination of toppings.
Oh.
That's a good one.
That's a complicated one. Like all sorts of favorite things, it's really contextual for me.
Oh, really? It's like it depends on your mood, huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, if, you know, I'm stuck on a desert island and I only get one pizza topping, it's probably pepperoni or possibly sausage.
Okay.
But that's not necessarily. And it depends. I mean, it depends on if my wife is involved, because there's stuff that she likes. There's stuff that we like together. Our traditional one together was Italian sausage, mushroom, and onion. Has been the one that we've done a lot. I recently have discovered the joys of pepperoni and jalapeno.
Hmm.
And actually, although you can't really get it around here, pepperoni, jalapeno, and cream cheese.
Hmm.
But what you can do is go to Papa Murphy's and buy a pizza with pepperoni and jalapeno. Go to Hy-Vee and buy a block of cream cheese and then just cut chunks onto it before you bake it.
Bake it, yeah.
And that works. I've only very recently discovered anchovies, which are kind of tasty.
When I was growing up, hamburger and mushroom
really
was pretty much my favorite. Now, in my house, I was really odd in my house because my
You're
mom
really odd in every house.
No, my mom and I liked lots of different things, you know, peppers and onions or whatever, but nobody else in the house did.
Yeah.
So five other people in the house. So if we got a pizza, it either had to be just cheese. Only Dad had pepperoni pizza because the kids weren't allowed to have pork. As I've talked to you about this before, haven't I?
You weren't allowed to have pork.
No,
but your dad did.
Yes. Although the only
you ate plenty of pork growing up.
No. Oh,
pork
no,
chops,
no, no.
Bacon.
Oh, no.
Really?
I have never had a pork chop in my life.
Really?
Yes.
What about bacon?
Well, I think I have had bacon because when I got to college, you know, they'd have bacon cheeseburgers or whatever, and I didn't even think about it.
No.
In fact,
explain
I didn't.
Explain this.
I didn't have any pork until I came to college.
Why? Why did you buy?
Well.
Is this a Seventh? No, you weren't Seventh. You were Methodist.
But Mom had been Seventh-day Adventist. And,
okay.
And her mom was a Seventh-day Adventist.
And so.
But
as where these things go, the husband and wife talked about it, And the wife said, well, we're raising the kids the way I want to. And the husband said, okay, as long as I can still eat my pepperoni.
Well, except for pepperoni, Dad didn't eat any pork either.
That's what I'm saying. He got that one deal.
Just that, yes. That's all. That's the only pork he ever ate.
Wow.
And we never had it. So, it was hamburger and mushrooms.
Oh, you missed out.
Well, but when I went to college.
Pork chops are good. Bacon is good. Spiral cut ham is good.
When I got to college and people were ordering pizzas and they were getting Supremes and stuff, it was great for me because, I mean, even though, it had pork on it, I didn't really care because that's just something that Mom did.
Yeah.
But it had, onions and peppers and mushrooms and all the other stuff that I liked that nobody else would eat at home. So then I would typically order, say, a sausage and mushroom pizza for myself or a Supreme if I thought, I want everything. But then when I stopped eating meat, actually, that's when the pizzas got more interesting because that's when I discovered that sauerkraut tastes good on pizza, or to me it does. Pineapple tastes good on pizza, at least to me it does. And all these combinations of things. So, there's a restaurant here called The Wedge, a pizza place.
Yeah.
And they have, you can get a pizza from them that has, dairy-free cheese-like topping on it, so you don't have cheese. No, it's very good.
Bleh.
And a vegan. They have a cheese that's not completely vegan because a lot of vegetarian cheeses still have casein in them, so they're not technically vegan. But they have this pizza called the Vegetable Garden, which has all of this good stuff on it, including jalapeno peppers and green peppers and mushrooms and I think they have some artichokes on there.
And it sounds like Chekhov from Star Trek trying to say Vegetable Garden.
Yeah, and it's really good. So
we get from the Wedge, we get the Nutcracker.
I don't know what's on that.
The Nutcracker is a pesto based sauce.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it's got the mozzarella cheese. I think it also has some white cheddar. It has some gorgonzola on it, so like blue cheese in there. And then the big thing is pistachios, whole pistachios.
Wow.
All over it. And then red pepper on top of that. And we used to get it and we liked it. But then some friends of ours, because they were married and she was a vegetarian and he wasn't, and they got half of it. They put pepperoni on it also.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried that, and something about the pepperoni just really brought it home. So now we get the Nutcracker and we put pepperoni on it. And it's really good. I've recently, in the last few years, discovered the joy that is bacon on a pizza. Same as bacon on anything else. So I've had various sort of experimentations with bacon as a topping. If I'm on my own and like ordering Pizza Hut or something, usually just get Meat Lovers. I just like Meat Lovers. It's good.
Well, and even before I was a vegetarian, I liked pizzas that had mostly vegetables on them.
She's right. My wife screaming from the other room. I don't know if y'all can hear. One of my favorite pizzas ever is the bacon cheeseburger pizza, specifically from the Casey's General Store chain of gas stations.
Well, a lot of people in Iowa swear by Casey's pizzas, including my family. They really love Casey's
pizzas. Casey's are okay. In general, I mean, they're a cheap pizza, and they're a decent cheap pizza. But their bacon cheeseburger, because I worked there for summers, how I discovered it. The bacon cheeseburger is great. And here's the thing, because I like, in general, bacon cheeseburger pizzas. But here's the critical thing. Don't put pickles on a damn pizza. Bacon cheeseburger pizzas, sometimes they got pickles on them. Like Godfather's does that. Sucks. Don't do that. Get that the hell away from me. But the other thing, and this is where you make it or break it here, because to some people this is disgusting, and I can't blame you. Instead of pizza sauce on the bacon cheeseburger pizza, what they have, and I know this is the case because I made them, is a mixture of ketchup and mustard. That's literally, we squirt it on there and then just mix it together, and that's the sauce for it. And to some people, and I can't blame them, that sounds horrific, but that is what makes the big difference, and it's really tasty. And other than that, it's just, beef pizza, and then they put on some cheddar cheese on top with the normal, and then bacon and onions.
Another chain that my family really liked that I don't think is around anymore, and I don't know if they were a regional chain or what, is Bread Dough Pizza. You ever hear of them?
Bread Dough. I think they're still around, or if not, they went away real recently.
Yeah.
But I think they were regional. There used to be commercials on the TV.
Well, weren't they one of those two-for-one outfits like Little Caesars was?
I don't know
for
sure.
I don't remember
either. Little Caesars is back around here. I don't think I've ever had Little Caesars. But
you know, whenever I talk about pizza, I can't help but think about when I was in college, and not just how much pizza I ate in general, but how much pizza I could eat in one sitting.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
I'm studying. I'll call the pizza guy and he'll bring a 12-inch pizza and I'll eat the whole thing while I'm sitting there studying. It's like amazing.
12-inch, nothing. Oh, beat that. Best I did, I once had a large that I'm going to guess was probably a 16-inch of like thick crust pizza. And I ate the whole thing in one sitting. And I mean in one sitting. I don't mean like ate it and then like played a video game and then ate some. I mean like I sat there and ate the whole thing. But in my defense, I had not eaten for 24 hours. And I felt really sick.
I mean, I could never eat a 12-inch pizza now.
Yeah.
Like that.
I could.
No, I couldn't do it.
If I get a large pizza, like from Pizza Hut on my own, it's probably worth two meals to me. Because I will eat half or more than half just in the one sitting.
Well, half, sure, maybe. Then depending on what kind of crust it is.
Yeah, but this is a large, so that's a lot bigger than a 12-inch.
I suppose, that's true.
But yeah, it depends on. I mean, when I get the Meat Lovers, I get pan crust, and I'll take out half of it. And if I'm hungry, I'll take out 5-6 slices instead of the 4.
I mean, I just can't eat as much as I used.
Yeah, but you're also skinny.
I suppose.
Skinny. So yes, Mark. Thanks for your question. Sorry we couldn't successfully answer that at all.
Actually, we're 40 minutes in after talking about our weeks and talking about pizza.
And the vegetable garden. We are looking for the vegetable garden. Okay.
Enemy vessel approaching, Captain.
Yes.
Pizza is good food. I mean, that's what
pizza
it comes down to.
Pizza is awesome food. And pizza is one of those beautiful things that are so rare in this world, but it does happen. And pizza is the metaphor people usually use for it, too. The worst pizza I've ever had is not that bad.
That's true. and you can make them more healthy than not if you really want to.
Yes, but I don't want
to
do that.
I know. I realize
I don't want to do that at all. All right. I think this is very similar to a question we've had in the past.
Okay.
Or maybe it just is very similar to where we derivated in the past. But anyway, this is from Veramond.
Oh, wow.
Yes, Veramond, who actually remembered to sign this one. And the greeting just says, HAT! In all caps with an exclamation
Whoa,
point.
Whoa, that's pretty informal.
HAT!
I guess they're on a... What would that be? First name? I don't know.
A screaming basis.
Yeah, I guess.
It's more like he's watching out. He's like... Hat! Look out! It's Hat! Hat is destroying the city! Now he must face Gojira! Hat! Hat! What method would you use to attempt to destroy the world, and how would you thwart the other's attempt?
Oh, yeah, we did talk about this.
We did take over the world. This is destroying the world.
Destroying the world.
Because I take over the world with porn, and you take over the world with long, boring explanations.
Yeah. But it's the same thing, though. I would somehow manage to get, you know, 2-3 factions together who really hate each other and have them just destroy each other.
But I think destroying is way easier.
Well, of course, I'm not picking a side. I'm not one of sides. I'm kind of behind the scenes, shadowily, you know, making everything happen.
I think it's way easier. You just gotta piss off a nuclear power in just the right way, and just takes one.
Well, yeah, but there has to be. That's my point. A nuclear power, but there has to be another one. That's, you know. See what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you've
got to
get mad at the other one.
That's, no, but you just gotta piss off one and say signed the other guy, and then.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of. It's very similar to what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I don't think it's hard.
No, I don't think it would be that hard, actually.
Okay,
there's two ways to look at this question. Are you starting from scratch, or are you dealing with the world as we have it now? Now, starting from scratch, you would have to actually build these factions and these arms races and stuff. But since we already do have these factions and arms races, it's pretty easy now, because all the work's done for you.
I have my plan. You have to come with yours, too, and we have to thwart each other's plans.
I've already had a plan.
Well, okay, you're going to have to thwart mine.
Okay, I'll thwart your plan.
Okay. Whole bunch of terrorist attacks. And, you know, they say, like, oh, that happens now. No, there would be many more because there would be much less planning involved. There would just be lots of, I'd find lots of people who are willing to die for something. And I would just have them trying to bomb the shit out of everything all over the place. Just suicide bombing all over the place. And very few of them would get through. But there would just be so many all the time, and they'd be really stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, once we really got used to that, and we're living in this terrible sort of city state or martial law,
sure.
Where we're but stupid martial law, where we're, you know, catching, because that's the thing, is once you figure out what you could do to stop those people, that's the rule you set in place, and that's it. So I just have tons and tons really stupid terrorists, and then once we've got all that settled and everybody's kind of used to that, then you do some serious, heavy-duty, sneaky planning ones and just fuck everything up. Because at that point, everybody would be so riled up and so just ready for terrorists to happen anytime. And then some actual destruction, somebody's pushing a nuclear button someplace.
Mm-hmm. Now I have to thwart it?
Thwart it. Thwart, thwart.
Oh, well, I get someone to push the nuclear button faster. That would really ruin your plan.
You would thwart my attempt to destroy the world by destroying it first.
Yes!
That is genius. You, sir, are a brilliant bastard. I tip my hat to that one. That is the most foolproof way.
Because the only weakness in your plan is how much time it's going to take.
Exactly.
So that's what I have to exploit right
there.
That
is the best way to avoid a specific attempt to destroy the world is to beat them to it. I love it. You're a genius.
Now, can I think of a way to do it without destroying the world? I don't see the point, I guess, but let me think. Well, the problem with thwarting a plan to destroy the planet is... I mean, if you're going to try to come up with a plan that nobody can thwart, that's just about the kind you'd have to make. Because, I mean, how do you thwart a plan like that? Unless you have some way of knowing ahead of time what the person's going to do, and you can somehow intervene with, I don't know, military force or with superior intelligence or whatever else. But that's
the whole premise of a Department of Defense is being able to do that. Supposedly.
Yes, right. But see, like, for example, your plan. Not only would it take a long time, but it would generate a lot of, as they call it, chatter. You know, so people who are listening in on that kind of thing, like you said, they're going to catch a lot of those people.
Yeah.
And maybe even enough of them. I mean, you count on them catching some people, but maybe even enough of them so that the whole martial law thing never even really gets going.
You think? Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. But if you were going to overwhelm the chatter thing, you would have to... I mean, think of the resources you'd have to put in place to get that critical number of terrorist attacks that don't get stopped. I mean, that'd be a lot of resources, don't you think?
You'd be up against... Well, in general, any plan I have to destroy or take over the world, or even any decent portion of it, starts with me starting my own cult. I mean, in general.
Yeah, right, right.
I mean, because that's easy to do.
But that's how they all start, isn't it?
Well...
I mean, let's be frank.
Yeah.
You know, the people who are terrorists on behalf of some religion, it's usually not anything like the religion they say they adhere to. They've created some whack job fringe cult group, and that's what's really doing it. So really, they all start with cults when you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Even the people who are you know, against the New World Order or you know,
even for whom it's philosophical rather than explicitly religious
or ideological.
Yes, yes,
the psychological state and the behavior and all of the stuff that they're doing and the way they're thinking is identical to what you experience with a cult and a cult member.
And that's really how you get this stuff going.
Right.
You start that way because once you got people who think you're super and will die for you, then things get much easier.
But even after that, there are a lot of logistical issues, you know. I mean, think of, you know, a Al-Qaeda is accomplished the September 11th attacks, but think of how many things they didn't accomplish. Think of how many things that could have gone wrong with that. I mean, they got lucky, really, in a lot of ways.
Well, and they had to plan the shit out of it.
Yeah, and the money that was involved. I mean, it took everything they could muster just to do that. And then, of course, after they did that, everybody was after them, and they haven't been able to do really much of anything ever since. And there hasn't. And hopefully there never will be anyone with the resources and the power. In fact, that's probably why they were able to figure out so quickly who did it, because they knew what kind of enormous resources would be required, and so that could only be a few people.
Yeah, like Saddam Hussein. Oh wait, sorry.
No. So your plan would require enormous resources, and if you don't have access to those resources, that could also be something that would thwart your plan anyone like me having to plan.
Well, but that's the other key to thwarting any plan to destroy the world is essentially to take over the world first. Because if I am a global dictator, I can put really draconian laws and practices into place that would prevent most of the plans we're talking about.
Sure.
From pulling off.
But as we were saying before, there's a difference between asking these questions about taking over, destroying the world, and thinking, say, from scratch, like you're given this blank planet, or now. For example, like you just pointed out, there are people, a small number of people, as it turns out, who actually have the power to start, you know, thermonuclear war. Yeah. And if you can somehow get yourself in their confidence and find a way to sort of push them in that direction in a way where they think it's their idea.
Yeah.
Well,
I did with you in this podcast.
Yeah, right. It actually sounds pretty easy when you think of it like that.
Like you did with me in this podcast.
No.
Because I spent this whole time thinking it's my idea, but I don't do things.
I didn't do anything.
Pretty sneaky, sis. I love it, and this is minor spoiler for book 12 of the Dresden Files. I'm listening to book 12 of the Dresden Files, and he and two other people are stuck in this place where bad guys are about to come in, and they're stuck, and they don't have anywhere to go, and they're kind of freaking out because they're about to be shot and killed. And he says, if we only had a wheelbarrow, that would be something. And one of them catches it and laughs, and she says, well, we do have that big truck back there. And he turns to her and says, why did you list that in our assets in the first place? Go get it. And then they go do the thing. It was awesome. Yeah.
Well, I hope that if I'm ever in a desperate situation, I think to say that.
We only had a wheelbarrow. That would be something.
And a Holocaust cloak.
And a Holocaust cloak. but the big thing is, to destroy or take over the world takes some effort. And I am lazy. So,
well, yeah, you'll probably never do.
Oh yeah, no.
I
think it's unlikely ours all start a cult. And really, on paper, I have every reason to start a cult. I mean, things get much better in my life.
I thought this hat thing was you starting a cult, or maybe it's the hat starting the cult. See, we always talk about you and me doing this, but this is all about the hat.
That's true.
The hat has conspired to get us together to do this thing.
The hat wishes it so.
Yeah, exactly. Why are we acting like we have any
power
here?
We are all individuals.
In fact, the hat gave us this question so we could sit here and talk about all the things that we would do as if we have any control over our own pathetic lives.
Whereas clearly the hat would destroy the world through a podcast.
No. No, it's much more clever than that.
Really? You think?
Oh, yeah. Unless it knows somehow that it can control the world through our podcast that we're not even aware of. You know, it sounds absurd and asinine, but maybe that's the point.
I think we need more than like 20 listeners.
No. We just need the right 20 listeners.
Oh. Yeah, I know most of our listeners. I'm not sure we've got the right ones.
Well, maybe you don't know them as well as you think. Or maybe they know someone. Maybe it's just a matter of time. The hat is very patient.
The hat, wait. The hat doesn't give a fuck. The hat takes what it wants. The hat kills that cobra.
I think we have time for one more.
You always think we
but
have
just
time
one
for more, of course.
And it can't be a really in-depth one because we
have, again, we don't technically have a time
have,
limit.
5 minutes left.
We don't really have a time limit.
I know, but see, now that I'm sitting here in front of the clock, I'm really conscious. Ah,
yeah. Not so free and easy now. I really hope this is actually recording.
Blood Sparrow.
Oh, Blood Sparrow. Mm. Also, a long-term and devoted fan.
Who is the person who thought our discussion about...
Absolutely.
About, what was it again?
Don't give it all away. I want people to go to the blog and see for themselves.
Never mind. Barbecue. Wet or dry?
Ah! Oh, I have a good story about this one.
You do?
Yes.
Okay, go.
Let's do this first, see. What do you consider that to mean?
I don't know. Like,
you don't know what wet barbecue or dry barbecue
well,
is?
Well, I guess.
What do you think? What do you think it means?
I have no idea.
Really?
Well, here's the thing about barbecue is that in the part of the country where barbecue was kind of born and invented, it just means cooking meat for a very, very long time.
Yes, but there are distinctive regions of barbecue.
Right.
There's about three different major regions of barbecue in the U.S.
And when we think, when people in Iowa talk about barbecuing, they're really talking about grilling.
Yeah.
And it's not about slow cooked meat.
No. It's a different thing, definitely. But there is such a thing as dry barbecue and wet barbecue in actual barbecue.
I have no idea what that means.
Ugh. Vegetarians. Because, you know, there's three distinct types of barbecue in the U.S. There's what's known as the Memphis-style barbecue. There's Texas-style barbecue. And then there's... Is it Kansas? I think Kansas City's the other one. And it varies in terms of what meats are traditionally used, what types of... what parts of the meat, and what kind of sauces tend to be used. But a dry barbecue... means that it was done with a dry rub and it had no sauce to speak of.
While it was cooking?
Yes.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And a wet barbecue actually, you know, is like basted in some sort of liquid
sauce
of thing. But when I think wet barbecue, I think something very different. And now you're scared, aren't you?
Yes. Oh, we're running out of time.
No, this isn't that kind of story. Don't worry.
Thank God.
So... as some of you may know, on the 4th of July, in this country, we have fireworks, traditionally. And in Iowa City, the weekend nearest the 4th of July is the Iowa City Jazz Festival downtown. And there's music, and there's street food, and stuff like that going on.
Like they actually eat food off the street.
No, like the booths.
Oh, I thought... because they scrub it so nicely. It's so clean you can eat off of
you're
it.
You're the straight man, dude. Don't even try. Stick to the script, kids. Stick to the script. And it culminates in fireworks, traditionally. And they're really sucky fireworks. We've sort of discovered that it's really kind of bad fireworks. I'd rather go to Coralville or Boomtown. Boomtown's awesome. But anyway, that's beside the point. 2 years ago, the weather was not so good, and it was threatening to rain. But we still went, because we thought they might do the fireworks, and they didn't officially cancel them. And it was sprinkling a little bit, but it wasn't too bad, and so we laid out our chairs and stuff, and Trish went to go look for food while I sat there and sort of kept our spot. But it started to rain, and this is on the Pentacrest. So I moved up the steps to the building, the old Capitol building. So I was sort of under the shelter, but everybody moved under there because it was starting to rain. And so it wasn't very sheltering. And I don't really get concerned about getting caught in the rain. So I kind of sat near the outside. So I was pretty much getting rained on. I was sort of a rain shield for everybody else. And it eventually started really pouring. But I couldn't leave because Trish wasn't back yet. And Trish, meanwhile, had gone to get food. And she finally came back. And she had gone to the pit barbecue and gotten us sandwiches that were different kinds of barbecue sandwiches on these sort of hoagie rolls. And in particular, she got me one that was called Big Pig, I think, because it was like ham and pork tenderloin and bacon and stuff, like all the different pork things on it. But the thing is, it was pouring down rain. And so by the time we got it, we still ate it, but it was soaked through. And I mean, these are like, you know, like hot dog buns. So it just soaked up the water. And we ate it and it was fine, but the whole thing was just soaking. It's like somebody had treated it before an eating contest. You know how they dunk the hot dog? And so that is wet barbecue to me, because we ate it and it was tasty, but it was soaked through. But the shitty part of the story is, so then
I think that's soggy barbecue.
Poured down rain. And they supposedly canceled the fireworks, and so we all left and went home. And apparently later that night, the rain stopped, and they did the damn fireworks anyway. And then I cried. And then Trish cried. Pisses off. But that, anytime I hear wet barbecue, that's what I think.
That was an entertaining story.
In general, I am a fan of wet barbecue, but what it mostly comes down is the tenderness and the juiciness of the meat. If sauce helps that, then yeah, wet barbecue. But if you can get me a tender, juicy, dripping with fat piece of dry barbecue over some shitty, dry, tough meat with some sauce on it, I would take the dry barbecue. But yeah, I mean, I go for whichever's tastier. I don't know that I really have a thing. And you're a vegetarian, so you don't really bullshit about nothing.
And I never really experienced a lot of barbecue before I became a vegetarian.
Because Methodists don't approve of barbecue. Could lead to dancing.
No, because most of the barbecue that was going on in places I went were like pig roasts and stuff like that, and we didn't eat pork.
Could lead to dancing.
Right.
Methodists don't approve of pig because it could lead to dancing.
So thank you, Blood Sparrow, Veramond, and Mark McKibben for your
Thank you so much. If you would like to be famous on our show... you're then, really not yeah, thinking not well. But you could also write into the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. You should also go to our blog, check out the comments there. There's often some spirited discussion with people there at themagicaltalkinghat.com. You can also like us on Facebook, find the Magical Talking Hat on Facebook and like us there. You could also tell your friends to listen or to like us on Facebook. That would make me very happy. And it would especially make me happy if somebody other than Azure Talon would put a review on iTunes. That would be beautiful. So just keep that in mind. You know,
we would shed tears of gratitude.
It's getting so close to Christmas. You might want to think of that. It's not really, but... and I think...
That is all.
That's it. So...
We are at the end.
Hopefully this will actually air. and we'll talk to you next week.
Next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.
You really never ate pork till you were...
Nope.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.